Been going through the book of Philippians on Sunday evening, and we started out, I wasn't sure how many lessons or how long it would take, but we're already on lesson number 12. So I wasn't sure. I thought it's a short book. I thought we'd just get a couple of lessons, but we're only on number 12. Two verses tonight. I think we'll conclude 2 weeks from tonight, finish up the book of Philippians. Just two verses, verses 8 and 9 of chapter 4. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Then he says, "The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you." Two major sections in this are the things to meditate on and things to do. And then there's a blessing when those things take place. But I put in your notes back in verse 6. "When anxious thoughts are removed by prayer and thanksgiving, there surely must be something that replaces those things. When you take something out, put something back in." Proverbs 23, verse 7, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Our thoughts. Somebody said, "You're not what you think you are, but what you think you are." The idea of meditating on this category or this list of things, when it says to meditate, another King James says to think on these things. Now, putting it by definition, means to ponder, to consider, give proper weight and value to. If you're going to meditate on these things, reason it out, contemplate, resolve. Turn it over in your mind. Give it attention and thought. I guess in a practical way or in a slang way, chew on it. You know, just don't pass it over lightly. Just another thing. I don't know who the author is. I put in your notes. Watch your thoughts, for they become your words. Watch your words, for they become actions. Watch your actions, for they become habits. Watch your habits, for they become character. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. So we want to take control of our thought life. We want to program our mind to override what the world is delivering to us. And that's what Paul is doing here in this section. But I made also a note in your notes, interesting phrase, verse 7, "the peace of God." And that comes when we pray, and that has a promise attached to it that God will guard our hearts and minds, our thoughts. The peace of God. Then in verse 9, it says, "the God of peace," reverses it, "be with us when we think and act right or godly." So let's take briefly a quick look at these things and make it personal. These are the things we want to meditate on. These are the things we want to ponder in my life. I want to give this a focus, some diligence. So when he says meditate on those things that are true, I'm going to apply that to give attention to God's word. John 17, verse 17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth." So when you want to think about things that are true, think about God's word. I want to meditate on God's word. In Psalm 119, verse 15, interesting words. Meditate on your precepts. Contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. I'll meditate on truth, on God's word. In Psalm 119, verse 104, through your precepts, I get understanding. Again, I want to ponder the Word of God. There's value, there's significance, there's blessings or benefits. Give some attention to God's Word. Meditate on it. Number two are things noble, things that are honorable, worthy of respect, dignified, inspiring reverence. What kind of material are we reading? What are we watching? Where are we going? Let's give our lives to things that are noble, that are dignified. Interesting word. The next one is just. Let's think about things that are just, things that are right. And specifically, right conduct in the sense of doing good. Mm-hmm. By definition, godly morality, it's in accord with what is right by a divine standard. If I'm going to think about things that are just, what am I going to measure it by? Not just what I think or what the majority has voted or what is being advertised. No, I'm going to meditate on things that are just, and I'm going to measure it by the divine standard, meaning the Word of God, that which is true. All things that are pure. If it's pure, it means it's not contaminated. It's not defiled. It's clean. Unalloyed or unmixed. I want to think about some things that are pure. In Psalm 12, verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words. Oh, back to the Word of God again. Many of these in this list, we think, I'm just to rationalize it about how I treat fellow man or what I think about others, but I'm going to take it to heart. If I'm going to think about things that are pure, that still takes me back to God's Word. The Philippians, I think Paul is saying, would have to fill their minds with pure thoughts to combat the influences in their culture. And you think about what we are pressed with in the music, in the television programs, in the movies, in literature, all the things that are pressed us. Paul says, you know what? Let it be pure. Pure. In 1 Peter 1, verse 13, says, therefore, gird up the loins of your minds. In other words, kind of hitch, as they would hitch up their clothes, you know, so they could move faster or with diligence. That's right. Now gird up the loins of your minds that way. Do those things that will take your mind to things like the things that are listed here. Number five is lovely. This is the only place this word is used in the New Testament. I mean, love is used. But lovely, this is the only place. It has to do with the grace of being gracious. Be lovely in life so that it'll tend to draw out love in those with whom we come in contact. So I'll meditate on things that are lovely. And we'll draw things toward the Word of God. And these other, again, the list. I want to meditate on things that are lovely. I want my life to be that. I want my life to be pure and just and noble and true. Number six is of good report. I want to meditate on things that are fair speaking, sounding well, that which is appealing. Good report, things spoken in a kindly spirit or with goodwill toward others. I want to meditate things that are commendable. Sure do. So again, we say, make it personal. I want to say, this is a goal for me. This is the aim for my life. Number seven is if there's any virtue, signifies moral courage and stability. I want to meditate on a virtuous life for me. The disposition of heart that causes us to stand for the right. I want to meditate on things that are virtue and then live by that. Moral excellence. That's right. Number eight. Anything praiseworthy. I put in notes, without making praise our aim, live as to deserve praise. In the house to house and heart to heart this month, January 2020. There was an article titled, Power of a Compliment. Anything praiseworthy? This article came out. There's a lady named Helen writes, she was a teacher. Mark would get in trouble in class. She doesn't say what all the trouble is. But Mark was a troublesome student. So now he's one of my students in junior high math. Class had worked hard all week, and by Friday, students were getting cranky. So for a break, I asked them to write the nicest thing they could think about every student and hand it in. So each student had a piece of it. If there were 20 students in the class, you wrote down 19 names and wrote something nice about each of all the other students in class. And then the teacher said, I compiled the results for each student and gave out the list. So then she took all those papers and put one student's name and put all the things the other students wrote about that single student. Several years later, Mark was killed in Vietnam. After the funeral, most of his former classmates gathered with Mark's parents and me for lunch. While there, Mark's father took a wallet out of his pocket, and he said, they found this on Mark when he was killed. And he carefully removed a folded, refolded, and taped paper. It was the one on which I listed the good things Mark's classmates had said about him. Then there's a list of the other students. Charlie smiled sheepishly and said, I keep my list in my desk drawer. Chuck's wife said, Chuck put his in our wedding album. Marilyn said, I have mine too. It's in my diary. Vicki reached into her pocketbook and brought out her frazzled list. Then he says, take time to compliment someone today. Did you know I keep a packet of compliments? Not to be self-serving, but in a sense, just to illustrate this. I got this one 10 years ago from my principal. I kept it. Just thank you for being so willing to always serve as administrator designee. When she would go off campus, she would appoint me to be there. And she said also for the thank you note, for the kind words of encouragement. She was having a bad day, so I just wrote a quick note to her. I said, Yolanda, you've overpassed and you can overcome this too. Right. Another one, just a picture of one of my students and her family. The Lord love. This one, Joshua Walker, he died 2 years after he left my classroom. He had a traumatic head injury. But the Walker family wrote all over. Where to begin? You've been the most important guide for Josh. And then she goes on. I keep that. You know, Dennis, Burchett, and Susan sent me a card several years ago. You and Christine have been steadfast and faithful to 10th Street for over 30 years. Dennis, little attachment, know that you're appreciated and loved. Appreciate hearing those sermons for the third. No, he didn't say that. Third time. They were just a thank you note from when I did a funeral. Oh, anniversary card from Christine. She says, "No, don't you dare." There's two old people sitting on a bench and stuff written on a shirt, and his says, I'm not stuff. Points that way. Hers says, I'm with lover boy. Christine calls me a lot of names. Boy toy. No.
I've got to edit that out.
Being next to you is my favorite place to be. This has been our 39th wedding anniversary. I keep her cards. One other one. This goes back to 1980. George Bailey. Preacher from Abilene, Texas. I think he and his wife are in a retirement home now. But he was here holding a meeting, and I was assigned to take him around, pick him up for worship each night when he's preaching. So he just said, before leaving, just want to say thank you for what you've done, what you meant to me these 5 days. Been delightful to be with you. A few other things, being his taxi. At the very bottom, what a great job you did, Brian, leading the singing. Well, then my best wishes to you and your handsome little son. That was when Jared was 2 years old. George Bailey, he was very well-known speaker, you know, in the Brotherhood. I kept that. So these two verses, he says, meditate on these things. Things praiseworthy? Don't you ever have a compliment given and you hug that thing or hold on to it? I keep those notes, just feeling a little discouraged. I want that packet. Especially that one. The last one we need to close. These things do. And he sets himself up as the example. So Paul says, I want you to practice what I preached. Paul walked the talk. And his life was a sermon in speech and life. He says, do those things. So I wonder, can we recommend ourselves that way? I want you to copy the things that I say and do while pressure's on. Meditate on these things. Do these. That's the lesson for these two. We'll finish up this book of Philippians, Lord willing, in 2 weeks. Always when we assemble together, at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, exhortation. Anyone here that's not a member? So if there are prayer requests or something that's on your mind, we're going to sing the song, and then we'll have a moment to allow you to have, if there's any prayer requests or anything that you'd like to share. So let's do that. So let's stand together and we'll sing this song together.